anyways, we're in the fourth or fifth, but actually the second spiritual gift that we're going to be talking about this morning. And the spiritual gift that we're going to be talking about this morning is teaching. We've talked about service last week, and I hope you got a lot out of that sermon. And if I'm not talking loud enough, remind me. Try not to scream into a mic when I get used to toning it down. But we're going to be talking about the spiritual gifts for the next several weeks, probably at least another six or eight. And just to reiterate, every single person in this audience, every single person in the body of Christ has been given a spiritual gift, at least one. And the Holy Spirit gives as the need arises in the body. And so the reason we're doing this is so to help you think about, where do I fit in? Where do I merge with the body? Where is the Holy Spirit placing me? What avenue can I service in that you've gifted me, Holy Spirit? And that's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just leave us. He doesn't say, go and run a church. He says, I'm going to give you these supernatural gifts to help you. But what we're going to be talking about this morning is teaching. All right? And the first thing that comes to mind when we think of teaching is instruction. Now let me just go over a little bit what teaching is. It's a gift of communicating information for the common good of the body of Christ. I'll say that again. A gift of communicating information for the common good of the body of Christ. So if you have this desire in your heart, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, you know, every time that I'm around and somebody has a question, I have this need, this compulsion to give that answer. And one of the things that teaching does is to give that instruction. And I can tell you, I have had that gift from the time that I was little. Like, I would say probably 13 years old. 13 or 14 years now, maybe 15 years old. I taught my first Bible study at this church. I used to frequently fill in when I was a teenager when somebody would be missing. It was just something that I always had, that desire, that compulsion, that pushing from the Spirit to relay the information. And there would be sometimes in my life that I was teaching and I was actually like learning it on Saturday and teaching it on Wednesday. That's just how it was. And so when it's giving instruction, that can be instruction in godly living, that can be biblical instruction. And then the second thing that the gift of teaching does is motivation. This part of this gift is to moving people, talking them, not just sharing information. You've probably been in classes, maybe in your high school or in your college, where I remember my dad talking about one class he had. He said it was a big auditorium, and they had blackboards down three sides of the room. And he said his professor would walk in, and he would start writing on one side of the room, chalkboard, and he would write information, and then when he would get to the end of the room, he would put his eraser down and his chalk down and leave, and the class was over. If you didn't, I forgot to add one thing. He had an eraser in his left hand. And so as he would write the information, as he would go, he would erase it. And he told the class, he goes, you have to get what I'm going to give you from there to there, and then it's over. That's the time he had it. So he wasn't much. He might have been sharing information in a very bad way. But he wasn't about also motivating to give it. And I think that's what a lot of lecture classes or teachers that teach in high schools. You've all had good teachers and bad teachers. And the good teachers are the ones that help you with your life and get your life in order and care about you as a person and care how you're doing and think about. I remember having, when I was teaching downstairs at the children's church, I had this one young man who was a kinesthetic learner. That's another thing as a teacher that you will do, is you'll figure out how to teach and what the best way to teach is. Well, a kinesthetic, you know what kinetic energy is? Kinetic energy is like a battery. It's called stored energy. It's energy that's not, it's energy in motion. I'm sorry, that's potential energy. Kinetic energy is when you plug in that battery is being used, that is moving around. Well, this young man could not sit still to save his life. And so if I was teaching and I would tell him to sit down and read a page or do, got nothing. But if I would let him run around the room and he would climb under tables, and the whole entire time he was listening, and when we get to the reiteration of the questions at the end, like how he can answer every single question as long as I let him learn in his style. So that's what I mean by motivation. It's not only imparting information and instruction, it's also teaching people how to use that information in their life. And that brings up this point, which is application. That's the three parts of the teaching. It's instruction, it's motivating, and then how to apply it. Especially when it comes to the Word of God. I think the Holy Spirit really gifts us in those areas, because without the application, if it's just head knowledge, and doesn't move that 12 inches to your heart, and then move that down to the shoe leather, it doesn't mean a whole lot in the body of Christ. If you have head knowledge, I remember playing, did you guys ever play Trivial Pursuit? That game? Did you ever play the version that was called Bible Trivia Pursuit?
Yeah.
Okay. And I have to say, I know my Bible pretty well. And I did pretty good at this game. But I had this one guy I played with that was a machine. No, not Paul Hume. It was actually my brother-in-law. It was my brother-in-law, and he wasn't even a Christian. He had just studied the Bible outside of it to the point he knew, like, Moses' second cousin's sister's name? I mean, anything that came up, he knew the answer. But because it was just head knowledge, and never had moved to his heart where he even became a Christian, and absolutely never moved to his feet where he walked in, it did absolutely no good for him at all. I would rather people not know chapter and verse of the Bible, but have the concept and understand how to walk that truth, than I would somebody that could win a Bible drill and know every chapter and verse of the Bible and where it's found. That's head knowledge, which is great if you apply it. And so that's what the three parts is. As a teacher, you want to instruct, you want to convey that information, but you also want to motivate people into using that into some kind of ministry. And then an application was like, how do I use what I just learned? And I think that is, there are a lot of churches, and a lot of people I've heard nowadays especially, they'll say, oh, I don't need to go to church, because I can just turn on the computer, or I can go on the radio, and I can get all my information out there. I can get all the stuff I need. You know what you can't get? You can't get the motivation, you can't get the application unless you're plugged into a local church. And that is where the Holy Spirit actually does the work. And it's amazing sometimes to even, when you have that gift, when you have that gift of imparting, the Holy Spirit sometimes will just use you. And stuff that you've heard and don't even remember you remember will all of a sudden come out when you're talking to somebody. It's just amazing when you actually start practicing your spiritual gift and what that does and how that affects people. The next thing is teaching. Respond. People respond with action and life change. These are some ways that you can say, okay, how do I know if I'm really a teacher or if I'm just into giving away what I know? Well, you get a confirmation from the people that you're sharing that information with, the people that you're motivating, the people that you're learning how to apply it. You'll see them respond with action and life change. You know, and it might be one of the next one, Sean. It might be one of the broadest gifts there is, because it can be used over so many arenas. It's a very varied. We can use it in one-on-one. You can teach somebody. You can teach somebody in little groups. You can teach somebody from a corporate level, like what we're doing here today. You have the ability to do that. And each one of those things are super valuable. I know people that have that gift, that they practice it from one of those avenues and don't do the others. And sometimes, kind of like that kid I was telling you that was a kinesthetic learner that had to be moving and had to be doing it. Were you ever in school with one of those kids that, you know, they're like, oh, put your pencil down, quit moving in your chair, sit down. That might not be, and that might be who you are. And so that one-on-one might be the way to really affect and teach someone. And one of the things that you really have to do, the next one, please. In order to teach, you have to know. So one of the things about this gift, if you have that gift of teacher, is you're going to spend a lot of time in study and preparation. You're going to be loving the thought of gaining knowledge. And it's not just so you can fill your head. It's not just so you can say, well, I know, you know, if you give me a chapter and a verse, I can tell you exactly what it says. It's like, no, you want to know. You want to know what the Word of God says. And you'll either be talking maybe to somebody and they're asking you questions. And when they ask you a question, you don't know the answer. That just spurs you to want to dig in and find out that knowledge so that you can relay that to the person maybe that asked that question. And feel free to do that. If you think you have this gift and you're like, well, I'm not a Bible scholar. Well, you don't have to be. You can share the information you have. And don't be afraid either, is when you're talking to somebody and they're asking questions, feel free to say, you know what, I do not know that answer, but I can find it out for you. And that's a common phrase from a person with the gift of a teacher, is I might not know everything, not might, I do not know everything. You will never know everything. As a matter of fact, the longer I've been in the Word of God, I've been a Christian from the time I was walking, basically. I can't even remember that, you know, probably somewhere between 4 and 5 years old, I accepted Christ my Savior. And I've been in the Word since that time. And you know what I found? The more I know, the more I know I don't know. Because it's like, as you gain knowledge, especially in the Word of God, it is so fluid. It says it's living and active. That means that in every situation in your life, that Word of God will apply. And sometimes in a different way. Have you ever been in the Word of God and you know you've been in a passage 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, and today, because of what you're going through, you read this verse, and it's like it's the first time you ever read it because it applies so perfectly to what you're going through. I have done that and thought, I don't even remember reading this verse. But yet in my Bible, I have notes and an underline, and I might even have the Greek words in there, what they mean, and they might, I know I've read it before because I've obviously studied it really good, but I don't know it for this situation, and it really helps, and it really changes your life. And that's what that gift of teaching, you're looking for those moments that you can change people's lives with the information and the motivation and the applications that you're giving out. So you'll spend a lot of time. And I would say the best place to start that is make sure you're in church every Sunday. And I would say if you really want to know, if you have that gift, be in Bible study every week. Amen. The more that you can get to know that, to be honest, whatever gift you have, I would suggest that. But especially the gift of teaching. The next thing. Teachers spend a lot of time on characteristic is searching for creative presentation skills. If you read through the Bible, as you read through the different books, you'll get to know the different authors. You know, Mark is a little bit different than James, and Paul is different than Jesus was. And they all have their ways of conveying the message. You know, there's so many different ways. There's the lecture, like kind of what I'm doing as a preacher. You stand up here and you give out information without a lot of feedback. But then there's also role playing. I can remember role playing with people, especially when I was in classes called apologetics. You know what apologetics means? Have you ever had apologetics? Well, that means presenting information is what apologetics means. And so when you're in a class, you're learning how to share what you know and how to defend what you know. It's called apologetics. Have you ever been, I heard like a debate club where you have two people presenting the same, the information from two different sides? Well, that's kind of what this is. And so you might role play and say, okay, I really want to understand this. So the best way would maybe to be, I'll take the devil's advocate position. I'll take the other side and see if you can defend what you believe as a Christian. You know, you might not even understand how much you know or how good your understanding is until you get into a position where you have to defend what you believe. You know, and then the person with the gift of teaching is going to probably do that more often and want to have that experience. So, and you want to have that experience and you want to talk to people. It's called iron. The Bible says it's iron and sharpening iron. When you sit down and have those biblical discussions with other people, there's a panel where you have question and answers, and you may have three or four or five people up here that people can ask questions and people can relay that information. A really good way to teach, one of the presentation skills is questions and answers. You know, that people, there's been many times over the years, especially in less formal things, like Bible study. Our Bible study is kind of like that. As we're going through that thing, we'll get, some weeks I'll have a plan exactly where we're going to go, and we won't even get there because of the questions that people will have and the answers that they need for what's pertaining to their life that week. So questions and answers. Have you ever journaled or written? Sometimes it's a really good thing to share. I like email and text for this. When somebody asks a question, you can write down and you can share that information with them in writing. Try that sometime. Or try journaling something about what you're feeling, about what God is doing in your life today. It kind of opens your eyes to the weaknesses that you're having in that situation. And open your eyes where you need more help. And there's music. Think about it. Do you have any of you get moved when you're listening to the radio sometimes and you're just down and you'll turn on like K-Love or one of the Christian and you'll hear this song and it's scripture in music and it will just touch your life? Or you're going back when we had, for a lot of you who haven't been here for a while, we used to have a live band that was unreal for years. And there were times that it would be, I would get more out of the music than I would out of anything else on Sundays. It's just a way that can touch your heart. And so you may be a teacher that wants to teach through music. I know so many of the artists that are Christian artists today love that venue. There's preaching and there's illustrations. Jesus was one that talked in illustrations and metaphors a lot. He would tell those stories. How many times have you read through the Gospels and they'll say, a certain man, and then he'll want to tell a story that represents what he wanted to teach. Metaphors. I'm big on metaphors. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. But it's a way of making people understand the concept. You've heard me use the metaphor, and I was told the other day that I don't get it because I don't really understand. But I'll use the gasoline engine and the diesel engine for your Christian walk. And it's like, if you have a diesel engine and put gasoline into it, it's going to run really good, but not for very long. And that's when you're in a Christian walk and you're a diesel engine and you put world stuff in, that's like putting gas. Okay, that metaphor might hit some of you, and some of you went, oh. And that's another thing. You've got to know your audience and who you're talking to and come up with creative ways. Here's some examples of scripture. There was a couple named Aquila and Priscilla. This comes out of Acts 18, verses 24 through 26. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, was born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately all the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained, or that word is, taught him the things of God more accurately. I don't know what that means.
5 minutes.
Oh, I'll probably be longer than that. Anyways, basically what he says is, have you ever known that? People that we're mighty in the Lord, but just their theology is a little different. And Aquila and Priscilla being teachers, listen to what he said. He goes, man, this guy really knows the scriptures. And he really knows what he's talking about, but it just doesn't have quite right because he doesn't know the message that Paul just received. So they pulled him aside and gave him the grace message, gave him the truth more accurately, and made sure that, and then we read about Apollos, and he was very strong in the movement further on in his life. And he started teaching the things of God more accurately. So you know that Aquila and Priscilla not only shared information, but in a way that changed his life. The next one is the Apostle Paul. It comes out of Acts 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So think about the Apostle Paul. He got this revelation from God that the whole world did not know yet. And he had to share that in a way that would revolutionize the world with the doctrine that he was teaching. And he went on to dozens of churches. I'm getting to go to Turkey here in about 5 weeks. And we're going to visit all the areas where he founded the churches in the Galatian and the Philippi. All the country of Turkey is where I'm going, which was the area of Galatia. And he changed the world with his teachings. He changed the world with his message in a way that he started churches all over that country that then led to where we are today. Amazing what one person can do led by the Holy Spirit. I'll give you this thing. Yeah, I will. John, yeah. This gift is one that's easy to try. There's always opportunities in the body for you to share, to talk, to relay your information. And like I said earlier, it can go from teaching kids all the way up through adults. And a good place to start is with the kids, because the information you're going to be sharing, everyone in here pretty much has that knowledge. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior and know what he's done in your life, you can relay what information you have. And a great place to do that is starting with the kids. And we have a real need in this church right now for children's church workers, somebody that would take on the ministry of teaching the kids. And so I would suggest, like it says, that you try it. You come talk to us. Come up alongside of somebody. We have what's called alongside of ministries here at the church, where if you want to get involved in ministry, you come and you talk to us, and then we'll put you, bundle you up, get you alongside of somebody that is in ministry, and get you involved. So when we go through these spiritual gifts, if the Spirit is really talking to you about what he wants you to do, try it. Next one. I want you guys to have a blessed day. Let's close with prayer. God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your word, and be in your body, and how you do gift us and love on us with your gifts, and that you're always there for us. So just let us share that with one another by using our gifts. Jesus Christ. Amen.